Hello, everybody. I hope you had a great break and maybe got a chance to go hang out in a Lean Coffee or in the little networking area. I jumped in there and said hi to a couple folks. It was great to see and interact with y'all. So I hope you are doing well. We have two sessions left in the day, and I'm super excited about this next one. If you don't have this book already, I know I keep mentioning it, but it's so good. You got to get it. The Remote Facilitator's Pocket Guide. It says it's a pocket guide and it's not very thick, but there's so much good stuff in here. You could just spend, I think, weeks, months, years getting good at the content in it. And it was written by my next two guests, Kirsten and Jay. Let me bring you up here. Hey, how are you two?
Hey, thanks so much for that introduction, Adam. I am good. How are you?
I am doing well, and I'm just trying to remember which button to push now that we have two people to chat with. Let's tell everyone where you're calling in from, and maybe what time it is there. Where are you located?
We are in Cape Town, South Africa, both of us. Although Jay recently moved far away, it still counts as Cape Town, and it is 9:45 p.m.
Right. Well, thank you for staying awake for us. And I'm super excited about your session because if there's one thing that is true, it's that the last year has been substantially different for most of us in terms of how we approach working with teams, how we do facilitation. And you two have been working on remote facilitation for years. It just so happened to coincide that your book came out around the same time as this crazy pandemic. And so I'm excited to jump into your session. So I guess maybe without further ado, I'll turn it over to the two of you and you can take it away. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having us. So today we're here to speak about connection in remote spaces. And we want to explore some options about how you can think about this topic. So we care quite deeply about connection. We care quite deeply about remote work. And we just want to share about how you can show up authentically. And we hope that you leave feeling a little bit inspired and a little bit more confident. Okay, so just quickly, my co-presenter is Kirsten. I am Jay or Jay Allen. And yeah, we're super excited to get stuck into this topic. So we'll skip all that text. I'm going to be sharing a couple of links in the chat in a second. And we want you to reflect on the question, or just share one word of what you are seeking for today. You don't have to share in the chat. What we've done is we've created a Google slide deck for you to click on if you have access to Google Slides, and that will be your reflection journal for the session. And alternatively, there is a PDF link, so if you're unable to access Google Slides, then you can still have access to the deck if you need it. Otherwise, if you're sick of being on the computer and you just want to grab a piece of paper, that's fine too. So we'll just give you a couple of seconds just to reflect on one word for what you're seeking for today.
Maybe while you do that, because I know there's a slight delay. Today's session is going to be kind of creating space for you to reflect on your context, because Jay and I both don't believe that there are many universal truths in this space. It's more about your context and what works for you. So the design of today's next hour, just under, is really going to be sharing some ideas and then inviting you to reflect on how it looks in your world, and then sharing some things and inviting you. And so that's what the purpose of this slide deck, which we just shared, is. And don't worry about going through it all. We will signpost as we go which slide we're on, etc. But yeah, you can play around if you want to. And thank you for those that are sharing in the chat. They're coming through. That's awesome.
Okay. So no worries if you haven't had a chance to reflect on your one word. That's okay. You can also move at your own pace. But we are going to go back to the presentation. So even before the pandemic, these are some of the top three challenges that people were facing with remote work, which is challenges with collaboration, with social connection, and separating work and life balance. It has definitely been amplified now that so many people have been forced to work remote, but it was there before. And when people return to the office, they might not do so in a co-located fashion in the future. So these challenges will remain. But what we wanted to do today is to zoom into the social connection part. Feelings of isolation and loneliness and struggling to connect with others in your workspace can be quite hard, and especially harder in a remote space because we're lacking a lot of that accidental connection. So we want to talk about what you can do about it, how you can build authentic, connected remote spaces.
Yeah. So if this was a problem before the pandemic, as Jay mentioned, it's like exacerbated as a problem now. But aside from the aspects to do with, you know, employee well-being and engagement, which are probably the more literal aspects about connection and the things that are important, there we have some perspectives on why we feel connection is important. But we're also assuming that the fact that you decided to join this talk is because you probably have some perspectives too on why connection matters beyond just what it means for the employee's well-being. And so we wanted to invite you here just to share any perspectives you might have around why does connection matter? Why is it important to you? What about it brought you here today? And you can share in the chat. And I know there's a couple seconds delay, so we'll just hang tight while some ideas come through and entertain. It's cool. And thank you for sharing your words. We'd also just invite you to keep those words with you as we go forward and use them kind of as a lens to try and look for ideas that work for you. So if your word was knowledge, then use it as a way to scan through the things that we're sharing. Awesome. So connection builds engagements and a sense of team. It builds trust, belonging. Yeah. Feeling like we belong to something more than, you know, our little work from home offices and little micro communities. Yeah, it's fun. Absolutely. Oh, I miss the ping pong table and foosball so much. Foosball more than ping pong. I'm not super good at ping pong. Yeah, it fulfills a very basic human need for value. Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing those. Actually be really cool if we could download this chat and pop it in the presentation somehow. So those are all wonderful things, and Jay and I think would agree with all of them, and this is why we're here to talk about connection, because it is such an important topic. And what we'd like to do before we start sharing some opportunities for how you might create connection, we just wanted to share our perspective on why we feel it's so important, especially in the context in which we're all currently working and most likely to continue working. And to open up this conversation, we'd like to share a story with you. Now, I'm not sure where you live, but maybe you drive a car, or you can imagine what it would be like to drive a car. And imagine that, let's say you had an appointment to get to, something that you had timed pretty well, and you've got maybe 5 minutes either side, and you're on your way there, and you find yourself stuck behind the slowest possible driver. So not just like a kind of slow driver, like a really, really slow, terrible driver. Now, I am not the best person on the roads. I don't particularly like driving. And so when I encounter frustrating things on the road, I maybe become my least good version or best version of myself. So if this is me, the way that I would probably start reacting is getting really frustrated, especially if we imagine this is a long road and there is no opportunity for you to overtake. You're just not getting your opportunity. And suddenly you're going from being on time to really late. And now you're stuck behind this person, you're getting more and more irritated. Maybe you want to imagine some of the behaviors you might start exhibiting. So again, to own the behaviors as my own, I would shamefully probably start driving a little bit closer to this person. Or maybe flashing a light or two. I'm not really like a very, very angry person, but maybe you would start really getting angry. And so let's imagine now you're really late. This has kind of ruined your appointment. And finally, you get your opportunity to overtake. And you swerve out to overtake. And maybe you do what I call the Kermit face, you know, where you look to the side as you pass and do a little Kermit face. And imagine with some magical divine intervention, you suddenly know what is going on for this person. And you have this moment where you have insight into what's happening for them. And you come to realize that this is the first time that this person has driven on this particular road in 3 months. And the last time they did, they had a really bad car accident on this road. And so what they're doing is really big and really scary for them right now. And I'd just like you to pause and notice how your feeling changes. And I mean, every time I tell this story, I can feel the difference in my body when I think about it, because as humans, we are so wired to connect with another person's experience, and it completely changes the way you react to that other person, right? The situation hasn't changed. Nothing objectively has changed, but the way you are has changed fundamentally. And so to unpack this a little bit more, and we will then connect it to meetings, we like to think about things as either like a vicious cycle or a virtuous cycle. And so what's interesting about this scenario is if you unpack it, it kind of becomes a bit of a vicious cycle. So if we start with my perception was that this person is incompetent. They are an incompetent driver. They are showing me the behaviors of absolute incompetence. And that leads me to behave aggressively. And I drive probably not the nicest person. And in turn, that person picks up on it, right? They begin to feel like they are not safe or that I don't like them. And that then impacts their behavior. And they then become more anxious and start driving even worse. And then that further fuels my perception that this person is really incompetent. So I behave worse. And you can see how we get locked into a vicious cycle. What's really cool about this is you can break the cycle with connection. So if you think about the perception I had when I connected to that person and had empathy, my perception changes to I respect their courage. And my behavior then becomes more empathic and I drive with more compassion. And their perception is really not changed. They experience no additional stress. And then they are possibly likely to drive a teeny bit better. Maybe not a ton better, but at least they're not going to be driving worse. And then it's easier for me to remain compassionate because we're not locked in a negative cycle. And so for me, this really gets to the heart of why connection is so important, because our behaviors impact other people and they're actually based on our opinions and ability to connect with each other. It really changes fundamentally how we interact with each other. This quote kind of sums it up beautifully for me. If you haven't read Leadership and Self-Deception, it's a wonderful book. But just to read it out, it says that no matter what we're doing on the outside, people respond primarily to how we're feeling about them on the inside. It's kind of that superhuman power that we all have around intuition. It's a really great strength, but it also means that if we are feeling negatively towards someone, they can pick up on it. Or if we're not feeling connected to people, we pick up on it and we act accordingly. And ultimately, in our organizations, what we want is we want to create spaces where people can be their best versions of themselves, where they can exhibit the behaviors that are collaborative and inclusive and open. And for them to be able to access them, it's really helpful if they can feel connected to one another. And so with that, I'm going to hand over to Jay.
Okay. So now we'd like you to reflect on connection, but within your own context. So we're going back to the reflection deck, to either slide number 2 or page number 2, depending on how you've accessed it. And there are just 2 sort of questions that we'd like you to answer in your own time. So the first one is, How connected do you currently feel to the people you work with? And you can just drag the little character on the color spectrum to give an indication of what you're feeling. And then just reflecting in a written format of what does connection mean to you and what helps you to feel connected. So again, we'll just leave some quiet time for you to reflect and think. And just think about your own context.
And maybe, Jay, while we pause here, could you share those two links again for anyone who's joined recently? It'll take you to a place that you can make a copy of yourself, and then it'll be saved on your drive, and no one has access to it. But we're going to kind of hold silence here for a good couple seconds to give you space.
And I pinned that to the top of the chat, so people should have access to it throughout your talk.
Fancy.
Fair enough.
Thanks, Adam. Okie dokie. Hopefully that was enough time to start thinking, but you can sit with it. Moving along. Jay.
Okay. So.
Wrong slide. Sorry, my bad.
Okay. So we're now going to move to slide number 3 in your sort of own book that you had access to. And we've kind of spent some time covering why connection is a challenge and how it can impact you, and also what it means in your context. But now we want to move one layer up and start thinking about opportunities. So hold the previous exercise in your mind and think about what does connection look like in a familiar place like a co-located office. So Kirsten is sharing screen at the moment, and she will show you that this is just a quick exercise for you to drag a dot and see where you would find connection with someone if you were in a co-located space. Okay, so now we'll show you some of our examples. So some examples where you might find accidental connection. I remember when I used to work in an office, the coffee cup would be a symbol for me. I really enjoyed connecting with other coffee drinkers. You know, it's 11 a.m. and we're kind of like, hey, what number coffee are you on at the moment? And I'm like, oh, I'm at 3. And everyone's like, what? But it was a way to just get talking and speaking about something that brought us closer together. Something that also, another example is maybe the plant. It seems kind of random, But just recently, I was in a very deep conversation with someone about how we became gardeners during lockdown. And maybe that's a plant that's of some significance in your life and it draws some interesting conversation. So there are some options for connection.
Yeah, I mean, just but a few others. I see the books, like when you walk past books, maybe it's an opportunity to talk about them, or even those little meeting spaces around the corner there where people can just hang out and chat, you know, just casually sit down and conversations pops up. All these little spots where connection can just flourish naturally.
So we want to share that connection requires more intention in remote spaces than in co-location. And so obviously it's true that connecting in real life or in co-located spaces, I shouldn't say real life, is also quite challenging. Like, of course, this is true, but it's even harder in a remote space. You kind of miss that absence of coincidence or that absence of accidental connections. I remember when Kirsten and I first started working together many years ago, we both had an insane fetish for cool white sneakers. And we'd come into the office and we'd see each other's shoes and we'd be like, oh, cool sneakers, man. And we'd be like, yeah. And that kind of like built a tiny relationship and it was simply about shoes. But yeah, there's like the remote space, like you kind of miss those accidental relationships, but how you can maybe build those intentionally in a remote space is just by something as simple as coffee chats. I think in the last couple of months, I've had amazing conversations about Xbox controllers, how to propagate plants because we all became gardeners during lockdown, or commiserating with someone about problems in my country because someone else had similar issues. It was a way to build like accidental connections in a remote space. We just have to be a little bit more intentional.
So building on that, what we're going to share with you now is if we need to be a little bit more intentional, as Jay said, about designing spaces that allow for connection, how can we approach this and how might we start thinking about it? And so we're going to share three categories here that you might think about as you begin to explore how to bring a little bit more, or bring more opportunities for connection into your organization or teams. And so the first area we see are your meeting practices. This is kind of a low-hanging fruit. If you're having meetings and people are coming together online, maybe there are small little things you can do to increase the level of connection by design. And so we're going to share some things with you now on that. The second thing is around team building. And team building doesn't require meetings necessarily, but as you begin to craft your team's narrative and build a sense of a team's identity, what are some things you might do there in a remote space? So we'll share some ideas. And then lastly, we'll look at this topic of casual connection. So the coffee machine, the ping pong table, as we don't have all those kind of casual things, and joining a Zoom call definitely feels less casual, where you kind of like lock eyes with someone and we're like, okay, let's be casual. How do we maybe bring some spontaneity and casualness to our remote spaces? Because that's also another opportunity for connection. So this is where we're headed. And what we'd like to invite you now to do is explore some possible meeting practices that might nurture connection. So in your slide deck, you'll see a slide that looks like this, and you can click on it. I think Jay is also going to share the exact link to it in the main stage chat. And I'll also scroll through it for anyone that's struggling to access Google Slides. But what we invite you here to do is just look through the examples and see if any maybe pique your curiosity or might work for you. And then we'll explain them in the things that you're seeing. So we're going here. And we'll again just have a little bit of silence. Alrighty, and you're welcome to make a copy of these slide decks and use them as you wish. We will share them. So those are just some ideas. And as we mentioned up front, we don't think there are any universal truths in this space. Maybe there are some, but we're not sure what they are. But there are lots of opportunities, and there's definitely your context, which you know best. So use the ones that feel like a fit or change them. So what you saw were kind of three categories of meeting practices that we like to use sparingly to bring connection to that space, to increase the chances of maybe people feeling more empathic towards one another and therefore being more likely to perform at their best. And so the first one is simply opening the space with a check-in. And I have seen plenty check-in questions used and abused, so I feel quite strongly about the check-in question. So my request is, let's not make people do silly things for no reason if you don't have an intention behind it. But it can be really powerful if you can bring a check-in question to a space that invites some kind of connection, whether it's connection with the topic we're going to be discussing or an opportunity to hear how people are doing. Sometimes just doing a red, yellow, green, how are you right now? I'll share that with everyone so we know where you're at. And then if you're low energy, I don't begin to form stories in my head. I know you're there and the group can hold that for you. It's fine. So just kind of normalizing up front, it's okay for you to be where you are. Let us know where you are. Or a fun one, if the group's up for it, have fun check-ins. That's awesome. Just use them sparingly for your context. So the first thing is, how can you use those first few minutes to maybe bring in a little connection that may not be there? The second is working in smaller groups. And this is one I really, really love. So when we're in person, these are kind of called murmur groups, because when you break into smaller groups, you have that murmuring in the room. And it's much less scary speaking when there's a murmur than when there's 20 people staring at you. And even though you don't get murmuring in breakout rooms, you still get the chance to have a smaller, more intimate conversation with a few people. If there's 10, 15 people online, you're not hearing from everyone. You're like, some people are just a tiny little square on the screen that you don't really relate to on a human level. But if we can have a small pocket of the meeting where we can connect in smaller groups and come back, you're increasing kind of the connection points or possible connection points. So how can we work in smaller groups? And then the last one is really a simple thing of bringing attention to differing contexts, or at the very least as a facilitator, being aware of them. And this, I feel, is particularly relevant during the pandemic, but also going to continue to be relevant afterwards. People are working in vastly different contexts. Some people are working out of their home with kids running around. Some people, if you're working in very distributed time zones, might be joining quite late. And so simply thanking someone, you know, for being on the Anna's pointing, for being on the call late, It connects people to them. Or saying, hey, you know, Jay, how's your plant baby? You know, whatever. I was going to use a child example, but Jay doesn't have kids. But, you know, just bringing some awareness to everyone's different contexts and how we're in different spaces, in a kind and authentic way, not in a way that exposes people's private spaces, but just acknowledges that we know that everyone's in a different space and are sacrificing different things to be here. And we're kind of grateful for that. And we feel that with these like three simple practices, you can actually increase kind of the almost surface areas of your meeting for connection and for accidental connection to kind of flow more authentically. Okay. And the last thing we wanted to say when it comes to meetings is that you do not need to meet more, because oftentimes especially in the last year, the reaction's been, okay, let's just have more meetings. And that's not what we're saying. It's just make the meetings that you are having more meaningful. Don't meet more, just meet more meaningfully. And so with that, we wanted to invite you again to reflect on one thing you might like to try. Maybe that word that you had at the beginning, or some of the things that you were reflecting on that are important to you. Maybe there's something now that's coming up that you would like to try. So we're going to pause here again for probably about 30 seconds just to give you a chance to write down, what is one thing that you would like to try? You can write it in your slide deck, piece of paper, chat, whatever works for you. Okie dokie. We are going to return back here. Thank you for those that are sharing in the chat. Yeah, feeling about the project. Oh, there's some really cool things coming through. Thank you so much. Ah, someone's already been thinking about working in smaller groups, and this is just the universe sprinkling it back in for you. Ah, yes, virtual escape rooms are awesome. Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, we would just invite you to keep playing with those ideas if it feels interesting for you. Okay, Jay.
Okay, so we just covered meeting practices, and now we'd like to speak a little bit about team building. So team building is one of the ways that you can build connection, but it doesn't always have to be in a formalized manner or a formalized setting, and it doesn't even have to be synchronous. Sometimes you can think of asynchronous ideas. It just depends, again, on your context. I know we say that a lot, but it does. And it's even better if you take this problem to the team space. So you could say as a suggestion, like, oh, I've got a sense that people would like to do team building. What do you think as a team should we do? What would you like to do? Do you have any ideas? In that way, it's kind of owned by the team, and it's not this forced fun that you giving to people. And so we will share another deck in a moment, which are some practical examples of team building ideas. You can also find them on slide 6 of your deck. And while you're going through it, maybe you could just reflect on some of the questions that we had there. Which is about empathy, connection points, and team narrative. But I'll just give you some quiet time for a second, and then we'll go through those questions afterwards.
Most of these exercises are also pretty synchronous things, but there's a bunch of links we'll share around possible asynchronous ideas afterwards as well. And if you have any you love, you're welcome to share them in the chat.
Okay, so if we think about these questions, how can you increase situational empathy? What does that mean? How can you help people share more about their context in a safe way? If you saw in the slide deck, maybe it's sharing a new story of what's happening in their specific country if you work across the globe. Or maybe it's putting on a world map where they are. That helps people to understand maybe time zones. It also helps people to understand geography. And like Kirsten mentioned earlier, maybe someone is on a vastly different time zone in the call and you just need to acknowledge that. I have a team member who often joins afternoon calls and it's super early in the morning for him. So I generally make a point of saying like, good morning, X person, just as a signal to everyone else on the call as a reminder that it's like quite early in the morning for him. And so he's probably waiting for the coffee to kick in before he can get like super engaged. And then the second question is, how might you surface connection points? If we think back to the connection points exercise in the co-located space, how can you do that in a remote space? So I mentioned earlier, which is just sometimes it's just sharing a little bit about yourself. An example that you could have found in the deck was the story me example. I've done this exercise before, and it was really cool to see how many people connected with similar activities, and it kind of becomes a talking point afterwards. For example, I found a team that most of us are night owls. Most of us love drinking coffee. Most of us like being outdoors. Some of us are not that fit. But that's cool because it builds a way to connect with others. It gets you talking about things afterwards. As I mentioned, you get lots of plant knowledge by accident, which is so amazing. So how can you create these sort of accidental connections in a remote space? And then the third one is, how can you build a team narrative? As human beings, we love stories. We love to identify. We love to connect with others. And we need like some way for us to connect. So thinking about how you can create events that kind of build that or build rapport amongst team members or build some kind of joint identity. And I can give you an example. So it might sound like such a small thing, but one afternoon we were playing one of these free-to-play drawing games where everybody has to guess the word by drawing a picture. And one of the pictures that the team member drew was so bad, but it was so good. Like it was so bad in a good way. And it also just happened to be a picture that was the name of the team. And it was, we had such a laugh that it's become a part of the team identity, like a mascot almost. And now it's even an emoji on our instant messenger tool at work. So it's like integrated all parts of communication, and that's kind of cool. But how can you also be like slightly more intentional about this? There's an example next to the story us, which is the story me. There's an example next to the story me, which is the story us. And you can just kind of build a team picture or a team map about who we are, what do we like, what do we do, how do you identify us? These are just small things to think about how you can build connection or team building within your team. Okay. And so lastly, so we've spoken about meeting connection, we've spoken about team building, and now we just want to lightly touch on casual connections. So how can you bring fun into your organization? And we want to stress that we're not wanting you to run away to your organization and be like, hey, we need to have some fun. Here's some ideas. These are more supposed to be suggestions for you to think about and try and discuss and see what works in your space. So we have three kind of categories of what we like to think of for casual connection. The first one is create light opportunities for fun. So Kirsten, you'll often hear Kirsten talking about the ping pong table because she absolutely loved ping pong and she misses it dearly, I know.
Well, more foosball than ping pong.
Oh, sorry. Oh.
Same, same.
They both have balls. But yeah, but what is it about foosball and table tennis that makes it so great? Like, it's simple. Maybe not so much for me because my hand-eye coordination is not so great in real life. But it's simple and it's free. And it's like you can just pick up this tangible thing and you can do it. And if you're playing with other people, it's easy to connect. It's easy to laugh when you do a bad serve or a bad foosball-y thingy. And also it can be kind of private. You can connect in this little space. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump on there because I think there's kind of like a simple magic actually to the foosball table and ping pong table that we don't necessarily think about when we're engaging with it. And it's that it's a conduit for connection without us having to think about it. It's so fluid and natural and kind of organic, you know, you connect with someone, but you're not there for the purpose of connection. Connection's a byproduct. You're just having fun doing something super mindless, but then connection comes from it. And so when we're looking for games in a remote space, we kind of actually try to codify what the ping pong experience is and replicate that in a remote game. So ping pong, simple. Unless, as Jay mentioned, you're Jay and you have her hand-eye coordination, which I have seen firsthand. but it's simple. You just hit the ball back and forward or foosball. It's a very simple mechanic. So if you're going to introduce a game that you'd like to replicate it, look for something that's super simple, as well as Jay mentioned, free. So people don't have to have this huge onboarding experience when they jump into it. They can just access it straight away, but it's also private. So it's not open to the whole world. Everyone's not seeing you. It's within your community. And those kind of three ingredients can often result in the same feeling you get of this really light, fluid way of connecting without thinking about it.
Yeah. I see some people in the chat mentioning another one of your favorites, which is Among Us.
I just knocked my headphones off my head, but yes. I still play that game, even by myself sometimes, I'm ashamed to say.
Yeah, so if we think about it, like back to how you can do this in the remote space, like think about all those things. How do not make it forced, like Kirsten said. When you're playing ping pong or you're playing foosball, it's just a thing that you do to have fun and the connection happens as a byproduct. And then the second one, which used to be my favorite, is that coffee machine. Coffee chats at one of my previous companies, we could stand in line for the awesome barista. And it was like a great space to meet people across the company in a virtual way. There was no fear of rejection. We were just there. We were standing. We were waiting for our coffee. And stuff would come up, like random things, like maybe it's something on your T-shirt and you're like, oh, that's so cool. I also love Lego or whatever comes up. It's another way for casual connection and casual conversation that kind of happens accidentally. So when you're in a remote space, thinking about how you could mimic that coffee chat. And then lastly, communities of practice, shared interest groups. So I'm going to highlight Kirsten again. So like something that she did, which was quite awesome, was started a book club. And maybe it's something that you say to the whole company, hey, I'm reading this book. Let's talk about it if anyone's interested. And you meet on a regular occasion. It's not led by anybody in particular. It's not led by one person. It's kind of like an organic way to connect amongst peers.
And if I could add, it doesn't have to be a meeting. You could also do it asynchronously, right? I think often we default to like meetings for these things, but I'd also invite you to consider ways that your communities of practice can connect asynchronously. So whether it's via a channel on your instant messaging or whatever internal tooling you use, maybe you can have an asynchronous way of sharing information or connecting people. And I think just to add on what you said, Jay, something that I really think is powerful about communities of practice is that they led from within. So a lot of the connection things often come from someone trying to, usually in a position of leadership or an agile coach. But if you can inspire communities of practice to form, those are led from within. And then you often see different kinds of creative options springing up, which is really cool.
And just to summarize the section, Kirsten mentioned it, sometimes just try and see if you could do things asynchronously in general. See if you can build that asynchronous muscle in building connection as well. I know we mentioned it before, but not everything has to be a meeting. But yeah, so casual connections, just find ways to create light opportunities for fun. Maybe think about casual interactions and then communities of practice. Okay, so we are at the summary stage of our talk. So just to summarize what we went through, we spoke about the context of remote work. Then we touched on why connection matters, and we asked you to share some of your thoughts and ideas. We spoke about the road rage incident and the vicious and virtuous cycle of why connection makes a difference in how you think and behave towards someone else and why that matters in a remote space. And then we spoke about nurturing connection and what does that mean. We covered that by chatting about meeting practices, and we gave you some examples and some example decks for you to share or engage with. We spoke about team building, and we just covered casual connection. And so that's the end of our talk. And we'd just like to say thank you so much for joining us and for your participation and interaction.
And we actually have some time for questions now. So we're going to keep talking a little bit while you have a moment. If there are any questions, we're super happy to take them. And you're also welcome to reach out to us on Twitter. We're pretty good at checking. So yeah, any questions?
Yeah, so folks are welcome, I suppose, to drop them in the chat, or if you'd like to add them to the Interact tab. Oh, there's already a couple questions that have been upvoted there. Would you like me to share a couple with you?
That would be awesome. Okay. Juggling so many screens right now. Yes,
no worries. Yeah, no juggling required. You can just hang out and we'll chat. Any tips on how to make the time for casual connection for teams across time zones? With little crossover time, we don't always prioritize that type of communication.
I can share some perspective, and Jay, feel free to jump in. I think it's really important to find options that fit, and rather than trying to force people together and then being like, cool, we're doing this fun connection thing, but you're kind of missing dinner with your family. But isn't this great? We're connecting. So actually really trying to work within that container. And the first thing I would say is take that question to the team, help them to see the importance of connection, first of all, like why I care about it, and then invite them to solve the problem with you and try something and iterate on it. So experiment. If you have kind of retrospectives, it's a great place to focus on connection and come up with some experiments and then reflect on it. Maybe some things you try won't pan out the way you thought. I have seen some nice things. One we tried with a team that had no hours of overlap from end to end was daily journaling. So everyone every day just shared what they were working on as well as anything else that was top of mind. And that was actually really nice because it became a practice for staying aligned as well as sharing something. And sometimes people didn't share anything personal, but sometimes it was like, hey, it's crazy weather out here. Look at this. And someone would share a photo or whatever. It was totally asynchronous. And also if you Google journaling, I think Team X has a lot of practices they share on it. But that's one option, daily journaling. Jane,
The only thing I will add is that I've actually tried the story me and the story us like completely asynchronously with one of my teams. And it still worked quite well. I encourage them to share. And as always, for me, pictures are optional. But I did myself as an example, and I shared like a lot because I have no shame. So I think that also like opened the door up for other people to share things or didn't feel as shy to add things. So I would encourage you to try some asynchronous stuff if you can. And as Kirsten mentioned, still take it to the team and see what they think.
Nice. All right, let's see here. Now I have a lot of tabs open. There we go. Any tips for trying to stop people being on mute all meeting? I feel like asking people to engage more will have the opposite effect.
Yes. I love this question. I guess I'm wondering, what is the intention behind wanting people to be off mute? Are you hoping for more engagement? Do you want to feel more connected to them? And this for me is kind of similar to the forced camera on conversation. It's a difficult thing to quote unquote force people to do anything. Where was I going? So I have like a team, for example, that's very quiet and occasionally like they prefer not to speak in a meeting. But I've discovered through experimentation that they really love to be synchronous, but they love to just write and share ideas in a written form. And that for them is a way for them to collaborate without them feeling like they need to say something or speak or engage. So I guess think about what your intention is for this collaboration or asking for mics off and see if you can think of ideas on how to bring that out. And also think about whether you can ask the people in the meeting, like, is there a reason for it? Is there a struggle? Like maybe it's a one-on-one conversation.
All right. Let's see. We've got another few minutes. Would you like to take one more question?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's see here. How do you build connection in a multicultural team? For example, a team of eight with six that have very different cultures.
Yeah. The word that came to mind for me was slowly, mindfully, and well, the word slowly, mindfully, and safely. So not expecting people to share initially in the same way or have the same baselines. So a really nice kind of entry point is maybe a check-in that I love, which is one of your favorite words in your language. So making sure it's okay to be different, because in creating connection, we also don't want to create the illusion of sameness. We are different, and it's awesome that we're different and we're accepting of difference. And so kind of whatever entry point you have, it's making it okay to be different, and then helping people have a language to voice that. And then, yeah, I mean, we could talk about psychological safety for days, but I would encourage people to maybe read up on that as a vehicle towards making it safe for people to connect from different places.
The word that popped into my mind was curiosity and how you can foster that. I think if you're curious and you encourage other people to be curious, you lead with a kind of like wanting to know more rather than like this person is different to me. And oh my goodness, it will change your life. I discovered things about Mexican spices that I never knew. And now I'm just like, all the Mexican spices in South Africa are fake. But yeah, just be curious.
I've been living a lie. They're all fake. Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming and speaking at the summit. I gotta say it again, your book is one of the favorite things I've discovered during the lockdown times here. If people want to find out more about you, then go to theremotecoaches.com. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And hey, everybody, they didn't mention this, but I have to tell you that the best deal on the whole entire internet right now is something that they put together and you should just go get right now. I'm going to send it in the chat. They didn't mention it, but and they're not on screen right now, so I don't know what their reaction is. But go to this link. Wait, hit send. Go to this link. Okay, I'm doing that, and I'm pinning it to the top. They've put together like a two-hour online course that is fantastic. The production value is amazing. The content is amazing, as you've already seen by their session right now. They didn't know I was going to send out the link right now, so I hope it was okay. Maybe we'll break your order form. You should go get it. It's only $30, and like, it's ridiculously good. You should go check it out. Thank you both so much for coming and chatting with us. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Everybody else, the honor is all mine. Everybody else, in about 15 minutes, Peter Green is going to be here talking about leading through complexity. Peter was here last year. If you came to his leadership session, you know how fantastic his content is and how thoughtful he is. I'm looking forward to that session in 15 minutes. But for now, I just have to say goodbye to you because I got to reset some stuff. Thank you all for coming, and we'll see you back here in 15 minutes. You won't want to meet Peter's session. And thank you both again for joining us. Appreciate it.